Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori, for the prelude this day. Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house, to Our Savior Lutheran, Port Huron, Michigan. For those on WPHM, if you're listening to us live, simulcast, or later by podcast, welcome to our worship this day. On this day, as we gather together, we're firmly planted in the church's year called Pentecost, that season. We're advanced to about the sixth or seventh week into it, and the lessons are going to reflect God's call to us to be responsible believers, not just merely name tag Christians, but indeed faithful servants and disciples of Christ in this world. So God entreats us to meet God as a God of grace and a God of great expectation from each and every one of us. So welcome to the Lord's house. And as we gather together, kind of funny, no it wasn't. Last week, the organ, if you noticed, for those on radio and those of us in-house, we did not have the organ available to us to play for our hymnody, but rather Jeremy played on piano. This last week, we had an electrician here for a few hours and then came back. And it was kind of like an organ having laryngitis. The organ was there and sat there, but you couldn't play the keys and make one note sound. The wires had been fried. And thanks be to God that in the bad things, we did not have a crisis of a burndown. So it obviously happened at a time we were not aware of. When we tested it last Sunday morning, just before the radio broadcast, oh, it was sparking like 4th of July fireworks. It was shorting out constantly. So you kind of have a brand new organ now up there, Lori, so to speak. At least the electricity is flowing. So with that, we'll put it to work. We begin with confession of sin. If you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives us all of our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God as well as our neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism as well as to confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by our sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ. So forgiving us all of our trespasses by taking our sins into the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in the good news. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, one of the ones requested, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise is Shout to the Lord. We sing. Moving to piano for those on the radio broadcast. The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in the prayer for this day. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the first reading, Jane Borntrager. Share is God's word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Moses caused the people who were about to enter the promised land to renew the covenant God made with their ancestors. Through this covenant, God gives life and asks for obedience. God's commandment is neither burdensome nor too far off, but dwells in the people's own hearts. Our first reading is from Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 through 14. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. This is the word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jane. Second reading for this day, Gary Oswald.
Letter to the Colossians. Colossians was written to warn its readers of various false teachings. The first part of the letter is an expression of thanks for the faith, hope, and love that mark this community, including a prayer for the strength and courage from Paul. The second reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints, our faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gary. You're able to stand this day for the gospel acclamation and the gospel reading. Text this day is from Luke's gospel for this year, 10th chapter, the acclamation we speak. Hallelujah. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. And so from the 25th verse, glory to you, Lord. So just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said back to him, well, what's written in the law? What do you read there? So the lawyer said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. So do this, you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell in the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and then went away, leaving that man half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. He saw this man. He passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw this man there, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. When he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, then the Samaritan put him on his own beast, his own animal, brought him to the inn. He took care of him. Now the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of this man. When I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you may spend. Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or this man, the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? the lawyer, the one who showed mercy, said, Jesus said to him, now go and do likewise. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Thinking about God having expectations on God's people goes back to the whole Hebrew concept of the Lord God Yahweh. So many times in the Old Testament, New Testament, you're going to find, as you study the word, you're going to find that the Hebrew people, then the Jewish community, as they become with the Exodus and loss of the tribes, Judah's left was Benjamin, so they become the Jews. And in the consequence of things, their interpretation of the law, expectations of God, still is consistent, and that is they understand a familial language. That means family-type relational language. Prophet Hosea speaks about marriage as the relationship between God and God's people. He married Gomer, had three kids. She was unfaithful. And so too was Israel, the Lord communicated through the prophet Hosea. Israel was playing the harlot, not just Gomer. So many times in the course of the language, even to the giving of many ways in which that relationship is described, we are part of the family of God and we are children of that God. Do children have expectations of their children? Do parents expect certain things? Can you recall, if you have had birth or adoption, look back on your life and their life of your children, and you think, if I could get back to my feelings and my thoughts when my children were born, what was I thinking? What was I feeling about this new life, this gift of life God has entrusted to me? Now, a lot of parents say, I don't want to be in control, so I had no expectations. They either lie, or that's the problem with our society. Parents don't have expectations. Therefore, a code or ethics or morality is not transmitted generation to generation. There's a need and an expectation. Generations are to continue, at least in the Judeo-Christian point of view, the faith, the morals have to be communicated. Not legalistically, but certainly in terms of content and by our examples as parents. So, here we have in the first reading, Deuteronomy 30th chapter. Like last week, Moses is addressing Israel before their entrance into a new land. He's giving them certain things that God expects to them. He says, remember that all these things you are receiving is because of the Lord your God's grace, he doesn't use the word, unconditional love, and God's generosity he is showing to you as the people of God. But when you obey your God, when you observe his commandments, his decrees, that are written in this book of law, then the Lord will turn your God, you turn your heart and all your soul towards your God. Seek to obey him. Okay. Stop for a minute for all those parents, and I've had to deal with them over my years of ministry, say, you know, I was forced into religion. I didn't even have a choice. I had to go to CCD. I had to go to catechism. I had to go worship. And I resented it. And I carry those scars into my adult years. Let's back up for a minute. Each of us, when we're born, kind of have a blank slate. Except, as faith and experiences teaches us, that we have an old Adam. We have a sin bent to us. Not to honor or to know God. That's the way we're born. Okay. So if our parents don't become a vessel to teach us by word, deed, and example, then how are we going to get it? Out on the streets, is that where morals and values are to be developed? God forbid. Should it be done by peers who you never certified were ready for influencing your children? God forbid. So where does God fit into the picture? We are to be the teachers, the first ones on the side, on the line to communicate the faith, the statutes, the ways that God wants his kids grown up, and let God take over from there. In the course of life, you and I both know that while we had expectations at the birth of the kids and nurtured them through transitions in their life, and when they fell and scraped their knees and had traumas in their life, we wanted to run to their aid and show them our love. But the reality is, our job as the children age basically diminishes. And as much as we want to help them, we're not in a position. Those first years were so important to transmit the faith, to teach them what was right and what was wrong. And like so many of us parents, we pray that they won't forget that, that they'll carry that with them and appropriate it for their daily life. Don't forget your God. You know his expectations of you, just as your earthly parents had expectations of you, and you had expectations of your children. Second reading, Colossians. The Apostle Paul writing this lesson. This now is a kind of a launch pad, first reading, obeying God, be faithful to him out of your love for God. Now, second one is Paul writing to the church, and he says, I want to applaud you. You are doing so well to live. The rumors, the reports I'm getting back is that you have been living the life of faith. I want you to continue in that faith. I want it to grow. Don't get stale. Don't plateau. Keep going until you cross the finish line. You graduate and enter into the kingdom of God. He says, and I even have reports coming back, you are growing in your love for one another. We have never, who's we, Paul, be Timothy, and others part of the missionary pack who are going around to the cities of the Mediterranean area, Asia Minor, to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're praying that you'll grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. You'll lead a life worthy of the Lord. Let your life please God as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in your knowledge of God. May you be strong in all your strength that comes from his power, that you'll be able to endure with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share an inheritance provided for the saints in the light. That expectation and Paul's reflection on that is to recognize that in your life, my life, to continue to grow, to bear the fruit, to mature, not just be babies, but mature in our faith. And to recognize that all these things will work together. If we, as parents, overseers of our children and our grandchildren, are in a position to be sponsors and connectors to the Lord God, to recognize that we play a role. I was like Martin Luther in his teachings 500 years ago. Luther says there really is a divine office bequested and given to parents. And that is to teach God's word, to model that life. You know, nothing is worse than to say one thing, love the Lord your God, and then we don't do it ourselves. Or you should love all people and treat them fairly, and then we don't do it. And our kids, aren't they brutally honest? When we fall short, they will be quick to find the shortcomings. It's that understanding to be consistent with our words, consistent with our lives, as it comes from our faith in Jesus Christ. Now the crescendo came from the Old Testament, come to the epistle, speaking about a life that grows and matures as God would will it. Now comes this lawyer. Yeah, You know, you can tell, it was like the one commercial on TV. He begins, "I'm your lawyer." And he says, "I know a lot of jokes are made about lawyers." Well, can we say 2,000 years ago it was the same way? Those who think they know it all and will expect that from anybody else, they got their act together. They get a little cocky and arrogant. And so did this Jewish lawyer, the scribe of the law of God. He comes up to Jesus, kind of proud chicken, rooster. I always watch my roosters, and you know how they say it. They're cocky. That's where the expression comes from. They are strut with their chest out. They're the best thing on earth. Forget that. This lawyer comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Lord, I think I got it together. My package is here. What do I need to do to receive eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, you tell me." This happens to be a communication skill that rabbis perfected. Instead of giving a quick answer to a question, he says, "You tell me." That's where you begin. Jesus could have lectured the guy, but he never would have gotten to the flaw in that understanding. In fact, he says, "You reveal it to me, what you haven't interpreted, since you know it all. Tell me, what do you need?" "Well, certainly, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, spirit, and then to love your neighbor as yourself." Notice he put that small. The abundance was his duty to Yahweh, minimal obligation to the neighbor. Jesus says, "Okay, sounds good. Yeah, but who's my neighbor?" Oh, he went too far. He's going to get an answer. In his ignorance and his self-righteousness, he should have stopped it. "Who's your neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And who's the lawyer's neighbor?" Jesus, as a very good rabbi, he says, "Well, let me tell you a story. There's a man just innocently going down a journey, and the wilderness was always perceived by the ancient people as a place of danger, risk, and possibly death by thieves and robbers. So this man's walking down, bothering nobody, and he gets beaten up by a band of robbers. Okay, and they leave him half dead," Luke says. "They walk away. He's there bleeding and suffering in pain. Now, first one to come upon the scene of the crime is a priest." Oh, this man's in luck. "Oh, no, he isn't." This priest says, "I'm not going to get dirty. I'm going out to synagogue, to the temple. I'm going to offer sacrifices to God. I don't have time for these menial things." Now, you got to understand, the man beaten up was Jewish. This whole story is about three Jewish people. And the priest feels no obligation or responsibility nor love for a stranger. Second one's a Levite. Oh, he knows the priestly code of the book of Leviticus. He understands what God expects. He's read the law. He speaks the law. Oh, he'll do what's right. Oh, no, he won't. He walks by on the other side. Now, if you haven't caught on what Jesus is doing, he's attacking or condemning those who are so religious, not without knowledge, just not the will. Not to follow through with love for the stranger, not just yourself and your rituals and your laws and your behaviors. You see no relationship between God and humanity? Give me a break. So here comes the insult. I mean, that's enough condemning, but here comes the insulting thing to the first century listeners. A Samaritan. Samaritans were hated, and Samaritans hated Jews as much as Jews hated them. The Samaritan was taught and socially schooled not to associate or interact with Jewish people. But he breaks the order, the social expectation. He sees a human, not a Jew, a human in need, bleeding, suffering, and obviously came upon distress. So he stops. He binds up the man's wounds, takes care of him as medically he knows, first aid, and he throws him on his horse. Now, a lot of us would have said, oh, I'll bind up his wounds, but I'll leave him there. This man does not leave him there. He throws him on his animal. He takes him to a hotel in the next village. He says, now, take care of this man. I'm going to give you 2 denarii. Denarii in the ancient world was 1 day's wages. He's given up 2 days' wages for this man's care, medically and physically, to stay there. He wasn't trying to stiff anybody. He was going to be obligated for the stranger. So he says, I'll come back, and I'll pay whatever the difference is. If I'm short on the 2 denarii, I'll make it up for you. Which of these three, Jesus says back to the lawyer, who's so proud of himself. And unfortunately, many Christians get the same attitude. Well, I've gone to church my whole life. I went to Sunday school. I got all these badges that hang on my chest. Oh, I am so good. And it's like, hold on. You and your faith will be shown in your daily expression of faith and love towards God and towards your neighbor. Not by your awards, your rituals, your past, but by your present as well. It's the understanding when Jesus gives this kind of response, people say, oh, I know about the Good Samaritan, and then their brain shuts off. We got to understand it's a story about us. Because you can look around you at the neighborhood in which we reside, the community in which we're found, the nation in its condition, and the world, the politics, the environment, and all that stuff, and say, I wash my hands of it, I'm just going to deal with God and me. And then you have lost what the gospel is about. God and me includes my neighbor. It includes the drug addict, it includes people in recovery, it deals with the alcoholic, it deals with people like you and I. And it says, don't walk by, engage and get involved with the stranger. Many different ways we as a congregation are called to engage the community. A lot of times it's so diffused, I don't know how to do it. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a national night out again in August. We're going to be at St. Joseph Catholic Church, and we're asking people to volunteer to help with face painting. Let me invite you to one way to engage people. There are many other options. There's a soup kitchen. Volunteer to engage the hungry of this community. There's always Habitat for Humanity. You got physical skills. Engage and invite them, and you be invited into their sphere of helping the less fortunate of the community. And then there's food depots. There's all kinds of ways we can physically get involved, and then there's volunteer services in many social ways throughout St. Clair County. Just understand, the stranger is not meant to be left behind, but to be engaged in the name of Jesus Christ. May the God of love, the God who showed love towards us undeservingly on our part, welcome others into our presence and treat them, as Martin Luther would say, like Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. We've heard the Word of God read, preached, and applying. Now it's appropriate for us believers, we respond with some example or statement of faith. We use the Apostles' Creed, if you'll please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with prayers as Jay leads us.
Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For the church, steadfast and faithful in its mission to proclaim redemption through Christ Jesus, for all ministers of the gospel who proclaim that the word is near, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For areas affected by drought or storms, for livestock and fields, for ranchers and farmers, and for all stewards of the earth, that as God's goodness is revealed in creation, we act with justice toward all creatures. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For lawyers and advocates, for local, regional, and national governments, and for peace throughout the world, that God send gracious and upright leaders to govern with mercy and truth, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who feel ashamed, for those who find it difficult to trust, for the bereaved and sick, today we remember in our prayers Sharon Cunningham, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, Jared Lucas, Phyllis Akers, Lisa Slider, Mary Smoggy, Stu Watson, Don and Carol Jaskowski, Carrie Harper, and for Scott Pike's mother. We also remember those serving our nation here and overseas, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Jaron Soulier, Rob Nolan, and Faye Wright, and those that have returned safely from their service and returning into our communities. That God will provide compassionate and loving caregivers to all who suffer. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the members of the body of Christ in this place, for those who do good works in our midst, for those who are visiting and those who are absent, that the Holy Spirit guide all the journeys of our lives, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For our ancestors who have inspired us by their lives of faith, that thankful for their witness, we can confidently proclaim our salvation, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God. And merciful God, you do hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all of our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. Want to check my volume of my microphone, see if it can do it with that.
Testing.
We'll see if we get picked up. Okay. Radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Mary Patterson. She worships with us at 11 o'clock and listens to us at 8:30. So we thank you, Mary, for the sponsorship of this radio broadcast. We have many things in which we give thanks for. We did not have at the time of printing, but I do want to acknowledge, as we did in our adult Bible study on Wednesday, that one of our fold had a significant birthday on July 3rd, Phyllis Akers. Member here for a couple years at Our Savior. She had a birthday, not just a birthday. She turned 80. That's a significant. I was teasing her. So you're officially in the octogenarian club, huh? She looked at me like, what? That's 80-year-old people. We have so many of them in this congregation. Thank God. Her husband's birthday, you're going to see in the now insert of next week and the e-letters we send out. Clyde. He is going to be on July 28th, which is a Sunday, last one. He's going to be 90 years old. I gotta say, wow, that's a long time. So we are blessed with those influencing and being influenced by the presence of God's Spirit among us as the congregation of our Savior. You will see many other things in your now insert, but also, if you are not getting the e-letter and you do have an email address, you can leave it in the registry of the worship pew, send her out. You can write it in the back and give it to a deacon. I do provide approximately 15 hard copies, and I put them in people's mailboxes back table for those who are not electronic, and we do have at least 15 of them in this congregation. So I make it a point to put it in your mailbox. You need to go to your mailbox, not just for that, but Marcia, who is our financial secretary, has put in since last Sunday your giving financial statement. So please check your mailbox this day. And if you have a copy of the e-letter or if you need one, it's on the back table. There are many other things that enable our ministry. I hope you'll be educated, informed, and then more than just a reader, be a doer with us in joint ministry. We continue as our gifts are presented. You'll please rise, we sing.
Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This day we'll be singing the Lord's Prayer, so let us pray as our Lord has taught us.
Thank you.
live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, and abound in thanksgiving as well as blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Okay. Advertisers on television ad nauseum are talking about Christmas in July so that they can get your wallet. Let's be Christians and let's sing, "Go Tell It on the Mount, We Have a Message to Proclaim."
Go in peace. Christ is sending you. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.